Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
So I've stopped it and had a listen. It's pretty bad. I don't know what it's going to be like. It just probably means that if I want to do a podcast while walking, I'll have to actually pick a time. Obviously, it's not going to affect me when the cicadas are out of season, but it's, you know, pretty well all through summer you've got these cicadas going. So these are little bugs which live a prime number of years, i.e. 13, 17 or 23 years in the ground, and as bugs, as grubs in the ground, they're actually quite little, about the size of your thumb in actual fact. Going through, they're quite big things, and then they emerge calling for mates, and in general the sounds are such that they're confusing for birds. Oh my good father, there's a I'll tell you what, it's there's a lizard just lying on a tree, sort of its legs just out. This is a sunbaking lizard. This is going to be hot today. This last night there was a black snake just lying on the pavement. Be cautious. Going through all this type of stuff. Yeah. So there's a vent of black, and these scales. So S 9, smaller by a factor of 9, which does an atom. So scale S9, a hydrogen atom is 52 mil across, I think that's right, 52 mil across, a hydrogen thing, and there's a bit of a story there. C1 is just our life, B9, bigger by a factor of 10 to the 9, the Earth is the size of a grape, and the sun a metre high, large, or metre point four high, ball, 153 metres away. So that's three football fields away. So that's a fair distance away to give you in terms of distance. So three kiddie football fields, or the MCG if you're in Australia, or from overseas you're looking at Australia over various years. If we're not ball tampering, we're being thrashed by various countries in our sacred cricket ground. MCG called 100,000 spectators, something like a factor of 3 times larger than a lot of the British grounds. So in terms of a large scale British ground, you have to you have to go up to Wembley of the same size for that. So that's B9. Then B12 is the one where we actually turn the surface of the Earth into a classroom, and we place stars at various locations. The stars are very small, and the locations are Earth human distances, long human distances away. So, oh my God, there's the lizards and various things are out in abundance, so it's going to be a very hot day. This is, how are you doing, little chappy? So these are, they're not full-length lizards, but they're water dragons all around here. There's a river there. I think they can swell their mouths up. So C12, next one is, B21. I like that because So the B12, the sun is 1.4 millimeters rather than 1 meter, 1.4 meters, it's 1.4 millimeters across, it's 1,000. B21 is an interesting scale because then it puts the Earth into a human scale, and that is, a bit of a breath here. You can see that I'm really pushing myself. It's a human scale, and that is the edge of the universe. I think you'd call it the cosmic dawn. Is 440 kilometers away. So from Glenbrook, perhaps up in Brizzy. Not sure, so sure. Melbourne's 760 kilometers away. Canberra's 240, so there's some sort of inland capital equivalent of it from Glenbrook, which would be equivalent, and that would be a B21. Now, the thing is that you put this in front and allows you to find a scale. There's heaps of little lizards and snakes around the place. You get a scale, so it's going to be a hot day. These little buggers know all about it. I think a kilometre equals a billion kilometres at the B9 scale, and at the GM, and in the B12 scale conversion, it tells you that a kilometre is the same as a petameter, and so you can use this. It's a sort of g'day, hi. It's a way of actually talking. It's actually not so bad. Here, I hope you can stand these bloody cicadas. So this is not so bad here. So this at the B12 scale, big by a factor of 10 to the 12 scale, it's sort of higher than that, but it means that there's a sort of population explosion of these dragons. We'll watch out. It's interesting thing is that you don't find, well, I haven't yet to find too many mixtures of snakes and lizards. For some reason, you don't find too much of a mix. This is at a small scale. The big scale, there's these big 3-meter-long lizards called koannas. They're not here. They're further up than the Fian River. I wouldn't be surprised. There's just too much civilization here. And koannas go after birds. These lizards will be going off, nipping up, just eating one by one. All these cicadas go, lizards. So a petameter and kilometer allows that crossover, and B21 scale, the kilometer is a yottometer. Y-O-T-T-A-meter, yotta meter, capital Y-M. And for the slightly smaller scale, the things in the meters, you have Andromeda and Eris. So the edge of the universe is 400 kilometers away, yet the nearest galaxy is the nearest galaxy is 20 meters away, 20 zeta meter. Andromeda is 20 capital ZM. So you've got these crazy letters, and it allows you to go in. Now, there's some other human engineering processes. One is to go up and see whether Rotary has the infrastructure and skill to assist me to get this project up and running. That is up to the evaluation stage. So rather than we're going to do it, we're going to go up to an evaluation. And whether I can... So I just want to tap Rotary. So Rotary is a international organization of business people who are, who are invited in to their ranks, and they have philanthropic projects which involves very much the network aspect of philanthropy rather than the actual, well, they have a money aspect of it, but by giving sort of a formal international organisation, they can do it. So they do have their very various infrastructure to get up and doing it. Then there's, so it's at the stage of evaluate and take a step back. So like in a sort of your naive view of doing something, you come in and actually thinking I'm off to the side, the constructed concrete walk, which is up to the right of me, no snakes, but heaps and heaps of people. Okay, so there's the Rotary aspect, human engineering, but then there's also the ducks and everything, not ducks, they're water hen. It's also the approach to sussing out whether the Glenbrook Visitors Information Centre is. So there's all the research, the potential for will countries come on board if we start at Glenbrook? Can we do it? So there are things for it, not so many things against it. But there's the sort of the people factor, and trying to actually suss out and look at that. And so there's a sort of, if you imagine a little line drawn around me, there's the people factor as to whether you're outside you or inside you. You need sort of, I need a service engineer just to actually check whether I can go on. Now this is where I'm, this podcast to my friend Dave outlining it, is to see whether I can have a wingman or structure myself, sort of examine myself and make sure that we can put it across and we're not entering in the, you want to actually sort of creep around, gather intelligence, but not trigger warning shots. You know, where the, once they say a definite no, they're in a structure of having said no, and really, it's all in the overall approach. So I haven't actually got that fully worked out. I've got some sort of basic ideas, and I still feel like I'm on the 5% point going up to Look at this big head. I can just tell there'd be heaps of snakes in there. Looking off the side, you can look. So people, I suppose, aren't used to it. So if you were, I don't know, if you've been, you just get used to it if you have to go in and sort of hide amongst this, or that you normally do, but if for various reasons, if you had to do some gardening work or stuff like that, you probably get used to spotting out where there's snakes and various things. Yeah, so rotary very early on, just at the first stage, the first thing of working out who to help, who to talk to, who would know about the overall project, who does it have the capacity to help, what's the process, and how do you present it, is there someone who can actually sponsor it. Of a younger person who can sponsor and communicate to get up, so it's like a joint venture to go in there, and very much I think everyone is on the lookout to focus on their core business and not be actually zombie attacked, that is, someone who's got a good idea taking over. So there's that aspect, a very similar thing, I'd say probably about the 10 or 15% of the way through talking with the mayor of the Blue Mountains to actually get in and decode all of this. So that's that particular project. Now, the next project is the Einstein. The Einstein pendulum. So the general view of these here is to build immediate capacity, which is the podcast, deploy, basically problem solve, sort of fundamental basis of a good idea, and move it from a good idea to an excellent idea, and then gradually, one by one, remove the addictives. And it's not a major, not a major setback when kicked out of the education system, because you realise that in the education system, you are sort of insulated and you're unaware of all the processes and finesses that necessarily can guide, and that's, I think, this partner when I was in robotics said that it's 90% planning and 10% execution, and this is a similar case for it. So that's the automation. This classroom, if you can sort of see it put away, it's a substrate for addressing rehab problems here. Can you communicate, can you get things across, and actually setting out, sort of redefining the education problem as from perceived deficiencies, which you'd have to validate that you can get across. Who moves the deficiencies out there? G'day, mate. Out there into the actual world. Because from the standpoint of someone running a system, the system's perfect, and it's the person they're looking at which have deficiencies, and it sort of just moves it. Such the deficiencies are people getting on board, complexity of the message, and as you solve it, deficiencies become opportunities, which can be sort of like it builds it up into an opportunity space. Now, similarly, with that, there's the Einstein pendulum. So I just had a vine catch my leg for a while, hook onto me for a while. Oh, gee whiz, I'm making very good progress here. So my heart, I have to say, oh, fan-bloody-tastic. I did this walk partly after a heart operation, and this is sort of like nothing. Oh, that was great. Oh, I shouldn't be too ecstatic. Yeah, certainly the practical project is things like I can, so now that I'm soldering up the Einstein pendulum and solving different bits and pieces with that, I can sort of test, well, can I still do circuit, can I still solder circuits, can I still check circuit diagrams, evaluate various bits and bobs. Oh, coming along here, it's bloody, tell you what, this would be just a hellhole. Now, what's the time now? It's only 8:30, and really the sun's pretty high up, and it's pretty misty. We've got about a fraction of a kilometre to get up to the bridge, and I'll spare you. I have to walk over the freeway here. But so the Einstein pendulum has certain things which test different skill groups, obviously, and it also allows me to mezzanine into a friend. So with all this type of stuff, you reboot all your knowledge. Of course, with rebooted all knowledge, you don't have the social skills. So if you've got a piece of equipment there, you can go and then you can sort of see how you can basically, with the mantra, you can't buy anything for it. Well, I bought a little bit for it. How do you actually manufacture this sort of thing? So an Einstein pendulum is something which has a flipping magnetic field. And when the magnetic field flips, the electrons flip. The electrons have a spin, so they have an angular momentum. And this creates a rocking motion onto the pendulum. And so there's a series of things. Let's go through this series of problems. So similar to the star thing, and this is probably what the fundamental thing you've got to say, well, what is the key value add? So as a research scientist, you can go across. I didn't have the maths, or not the maths, all the information necessary to calculate the strength of magnetic field. Like, I knew already that people's understanding of magnetic field isn't quite there, in that a lot of people think that an object in a magnetic field will travel along a field line, and it's actually it's a interaction with the dipole with the magnetic field gradient. So that's one aspect of it. So you've got to make a fairly uniform magnetic field, which is reasonably uniform windings over a reasonably large size. Now, as you reduce the size for the same amount of power, you get a greater magnetic field. So your power you put into your circuit is I squared R, where I is the current and R is the resistance, and IR is the voltage that you're putting in. So you have a 1 amp power supply out of the shed, 12 volts DC. Now, you take that because I know I've got a topper power supply which can sort of probe a factor of 10 greater than this power supply in a much more stable fashion. So that's a good one to start off with. And what I actually did is I wound up A little solenoid. Sorry, this is going to be bloody loud. Gee whiz. Can you imagine this? Oh, there are lizards and things everywhere. Okay. So I'm sort of going down creek level past this creek flowing, and the place stinks. You know, this sort of baked mud smell. Now, let's see what this is going to do. Yeah, it's going to be a crazy place, don't you? The first one came up and could feel it. And this, after about 5 minutes, it was hot. And you know, like if it's like far too hot to touch, you know, that something's too hot to touch. Really quickly too hot to touch. It's up over 100 degrees. If it's a bit to touch, and then you have to move your finger away from it. I'm just going to move up here. So it's going to get a bit noisy, and I'll stop after a while. And so that told me that I had to knock up the resistance to lower the current a tad. So if you increase the resistance, you reduce the power output. Now, so I'm just going to have to wait for these people to get a bit further ahead of me. Yep, so, yeah, so as you knock up the resistance, you can increase the length and reduce the power output, power use. So the power use is not into the power of magnetic field. The power is into the resistance. So it's one of those things, something which high resistance actually has lower power output there. And so it meant that I had to go for a geometry. So the I had to get the heat away from the component. So that's heat away is the surface area. So there's two ways to increase the surface area, the radius and the length. And so it took me about an hour of winding. And that's sort of not the easiest thing. And from just general experience, now this is interesting, like you can't say, well, where the heck does this all come from? We're going to have to stop this because there's no way that you're going to be able to stand me. What the heck? Yeah, bloody hell. So there's no way you can stand here. So, this sort of fundamental back knowledge. So I've got sort of the front desk working on things. So I knew to get a drink bottle. I didn't quite know how it was going to work. Just the right size. Wrap it. Oh my God, they're salt-crested cockatoos with a nest. Those poor people. Although I shouldn't be too sad. These poor people have got these just enormously big houses. Just ridiculously big houses on the bank of the Nepean. Okay, using aluminium foil. The aluminium foil has the effect that the copper wire bends into it. You have a few layers of aluminium foil, and so the copper wire folds into it, so it holds it secure. So that's a important thing to do. And then one length of copper wire stream off, and then one of the next length. Now, what's really, beware of snakes in this area, you betcha. There's this huge sign here saying beware, warning, beware of snakes. There's a blistering number of snakes, and it's only the red-bellied snake. Don't be too worried, it's not called a death adder, but it is the most deadly snake in the world. There you go. So you're, so where do you read about it? Humans, not dogs, a fair amount. Oh, you can hear those bellbirds at the end there, and it's this beautiful view down here of this sort of otherworldly gorge, which you look up here. We winded along, and what took so long is to take the other, to unwind the other one, and unwinding the other one meant that I had to rewind it back onto a small spool, and then from that small spool rewind it onto that took over an hour of careful going. So it's on this drink bottle. The important thing is it's got to be a full drink bottle. Why is this? So what you do is, full drink bottle means that it's a really solid spindle you're on. You're hand winding it, of course. Now, I've got friends who have built micro probes or cyclotron radiation, and these are optical fiber gyros. These are precision gobs. This is nowhere near, but you still need a solid mandrel. So the sort of basis of this is that if you want a good coil, you need it to be solid. So your drink bottle is solid, and what happens is that carbonated water, so it's 70 cents for this no-name brand, and when you've got it there, you're ready to go. You release the pressure, so the bottle shrinks ever so much. I was able to save a quarter of the stuff, because obviously you're winding it, that builds up the pressure over and over, going up. And so this has produced a really nice magnetic field. I've got to remember K something or other. I've got to remember it's the name of this black, this plastic high temperature tape. Now I'm going to switch this off, my friends, because for the moment, because the noise going over this bridge is just horrendous, and I'm doing this in a reasonably bloody good time. I'm back on the across the freeway, and it's still pretty noisy, and you can still hear the noises there, and I'm back in the high population area, sort of people free of the snakes. Of course, you don't have this option around here. And I come across a paddock with sheep in it. Oh, fuck. Sorry. It's a bike which just zipped past me. And next to it is just an eyesore of a big, I don't know, restaurant centre they're building up around here. So, you know, half and half, and they're making a big maritime launch section for all the speedboats and various jet skis people devise up around here. Yeah, so we're talking about making the the coil. Now, the strength of the magnetic field, the size of the coil really doesn't matter. The area doesn't matter, because maybe this thing of flux concentration. So I've got a ferrite rod in the centre, and being a good ferrite rod, it will collect the flux. So you can make it big, and the bigger you make it, the easier it is to get a smooth gradient in the inside. But you still can't make a something smooth. Oh my god, this is getting a Chinese restaurant. Why would someone want to eat Chinese food out here? Can I say that this is, I'll give it the ugly vote that they're building up there. Okay, So this construction off the side, the new, delivering the new river. My God. Oh. Mandini's an Italian cafe restaurant on construction, which is located at the Blue Mountains, Riviera River in Gemmiston, Perm City. The new exciting design, the state-of-the-art kitchen, sparing no expense to ensure the kitchen Bagrat has the best working condition in the industry to offer. An excellent location next to the river gives an amazing environment and atmosphere made Italian-inspired menu. Oh my God, for positions, chefs, attendants, pizza chef, baristas. Oh God. So that's where it's at. And you've got the idiots pumping out music at this point in time. So you've got the small in the area, it doesn't matter, but you can go for a larger area, and then you've got to get the heat out for it, and you of course obviously don't want the heat blowing up, causing a wind oscillating things, and you want to build it. So I think the temperature this is built up to is a few skin close on 70, 80 degrees. Means that with a bit of judicious working, have your good power supply in there, clocking it up, getting it up there. Now, what field strength do you want to get? Well, the answer is fairly simple on that one. Stop. So the field you want to get to is, obviously, you don't want to go above the saturation field. So let's talk about this ferrite, which I've selected. Ferrite selected because I'm going for a lightweight thing that's got fairly reproducible, and it's...
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.